And Key, we want to thank you for coming. What a great day to celebrate. We're going to celebrate these two faithful servants, and they do not like being in the spotlight, but tough. Because we love them, and we want to honor them. And for over 30 years, since July 1st, 1988, Don and Katie have faithfully served in this church. 30 years is amazing. That doesn't happen very often. And 30 years with two guys doesn't happen very often. We tend to get along. Very different, but we're unified and we get along well. And so today we're going to celebrate. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." That's God's word. And so today our desire is to give honor to Pastor Don and Katie, to give them the double honor that they deserve. In the service today, Don and Katie have picked the songs, all seven of them, and they're awesome. Now, I get this. I looked at the songs and I go, oh my goodness, I'm going to be bawling halfway through. You know what? It's bittersweet. We're celebrating, but there's times of some tears. So if you're welling up with some tears, let them flow. It's okay. Okay? Real men cry, guys. Okay, Jesus cried. If he can cry, we can cry. But we're going to celebrate Don and Katie today. I want to welcome Don's family. Many of them are here today. We welcome you for coming and being here. And Don Sr., thank you for your son. And the rest of the Baldrica family. And Katie's family, almost all of them are here. Thank you guys for coming. Owen's going to be sharing a little bit later. They came from Minnesota. They came from Colorado. They came from Texas. They just all came here, and it's great to have you. And so we want to welcome you. So thanks for coming today. All the Impact students, would you raise your hands that were in Impact? Would you just, yeah, we got Impact students here. Awesome. You guys are also looking a little older than we last saw you in the college days, but so are we. And you're going to see some pictures later today, and you're going to go, oh, my. And Callie Jo put together an Impact pictures back there on that table, so you can see those back there. And also today we're videotaping. And so if you want to get on the camera and you want to say something to Don and Katie, Heather right back there, look at Heather right there. She would get you away in a room where you could just fire away, okay? And you could say something to be interviewed, because we're videotaping this and then going to put it together for a presentation for Don and Katie. Also, there are card basket back there in the back sanctuary. If you had a card you brought, there's a guest book. Please sign that. That's a great thing for them to sign, and Don and Katie can look at that later and say, oh, yeah, so-and-so was here, because they were here to honor you. Later on, there's going to be a memory album that we are presenting to them. If you didn't get a chance to write on there, there's an 8.5 by 11 sheets in the back. You could go there and just write, print, and write something that you'd like to say to Don and Katie, and that will get put into the album. And then also later at the end of the service, we're going to take a special love offering for Don and Katie. We've asked our church family, we've already been collecting funds for them in this transition period, just to tell them we love you guys. And so at the end of the service today, we're going to take a special offering during the last song. And if you'd like to give to that, we want to give you an opportunity to do that if you haven't been a part of that already. If you'd like to do that, you're welcome to do that. And then today only, for third through fifth graders, second through fifth graders, kids' time, you're staying up here, because Pastor Dwayne was scheduled to be downstairs, and I'm not going to be downstairs today. So you're going to be up here because we want you to celebrate with us. And so we do have nursery, and we have twos through fours downstairs, and that's available even now. And then I want to encourage you to stay for Olive Garden lunch. We want you to eat with us, and if you said, well, I didn't know about that, I think we're going to have enough food for all of you, as long as you only take two breadsticks each, okay? See, three, you're in trouble. The police will come and grab you. We also have a gluten-free option in that. And then also at the table, as you go through the food line, we'll have jars there. If you'd like to make a donation to help pay for the lunch, you're welcome to do that also. We didn't have that in the program. He's not paying. He's upset because he's not getting Olive Garden. Why are we here today? We're here to honor two of God's choice servants. Most importantly, we're here to worship our great God. And He is the main focus for the day, but we also honor two of His choice servants. So let's pray as we begin to enter into worship. Lord, we're here today to worship You. We look forward to these moments where, Lord, You are here. Your Spirit is among us. You're with us. And Lord, today we recognize You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and praise. For You have created all things. And by Your will, everything has been created and have their being. So Lord, today, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Lord, today, as we celebrate Don and Katie and their 30 years of faithful ministry, Lord, first and foremost, we celebrate You, our great God. We lift up our praise to You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our God is so good. He is so faithful. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's stand and celebrate Him. great are you, Lord. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. You give life.
Shout! we are having some tea and sharing with Katie the importance of her life and ministry in each of our lives. For those of you who don't know, I'm Sherry Robinson. This is Callie Jo Wright and Joyce Schlecht, and of course, Katie. Since you're here, you're welcome just to listen in and be encouraged by how God has used Katie in our lives and in our church. So, Katie, here we are. 30 years.
We made it, Sherry.
Before we go any farther,
though, my mama always taught me, don't go anywhere empty-handed. So, just for your nerves, each of you can open this later and be so happy. My family knows what's in these. They've been seeing them all weekend, but I just want to say thank you because I know it's nerve-wracking to be up here. So.
It's so good. So good. So, Katie, right? So, we first met in 1988. We were both 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty young. When you and Don came, Dwayne and I had been here 1 year as the youth pastor, and then Don came as the college pastor. And you guys had been married just...
10 months. We'd been married 10 months when we came here.
Wow. So I remember the first time we got together to kind of really get to know each other, you came over to the parsonage, mm-hmm. and we sat on my old green couch and, and chatted. I think Jessica was about 7 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, like, wow, I really click with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember, oh my gosh, she wants me to hold her baby. I don't know how to hold a baby.
You've come
you wouldn't
a long
believe
way.
That now, right?
You got your grandkids. But I felt like we were similar in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and we were raised similarly, mm-hmm. and now we were our pastor's wives together, and we didn't really know what we were doing, but. We made it this far. And I felt like you had mentioned before, we weren't competitive mm-hmm. with each other in our life, in our ministry. And that would have been terrible if we were, because
right.
that would have not been fun. But bring out a Scrabble board with this girl.
Any kind of word game with this girl.
And you will see a little competitiveness. We raised our kids together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of years. We trusted each other with them.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of play dates, lots of birthday parties. I wonder how many birthday parties if we counted.
A lot. Lots of family vacations at the beach. We started going to the beach together.
Yeah, 1989.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. We'd take a few days and go to Waldport and throw the kids in the water, and that was great.
Boys would dig in the sand and make those mm-hmm. tunnels.
But I almost felt like Sherry had my back, like you were always rooting for me, and I didn't feel like I had to worry if someone said something about me that you would, throw me under the bus. Or
no. Never.
Yeah, we were always together.
Yeah, we were always
so that was
together.
Great. I really appreciated your friendship.
Yes, and it has been a great friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, the bond that we have with our families is huge, and you guys came to Minnesota for Ryan's wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so amazing.
Yeah.
And then here at First Baptist, we just kind of each used our gifts and abilities to
mm-hmm.
How we thought God wanted to use us, and slipped into the co-pastor role
mm-hmm.
in 1994.
Right.
And I think that's when we started going to the pastor's wives retreats.
Yes.
And trying to learn some things. And
yeah.
And we always came away, I remember always coming away thinking, we have an amazing church.
Right.
We have an amazing church.
You guys match up well with other church bodies, how they treat their pastors and their wives. So
yeah.
we were always encouraged by that. But
there were so many that were hurting, and
their
churches didn't treat them well.
Right.
But we felt like here, we were allowed to use our gifts and to raise our families without feeling that
right.
pressure.
Definitely. And what else was I going to say about you?
You know,
I thought we were going to go with Callie first.
I know. So. Yeah, it's about you, not about me. So when I think of you, and I didn't even know that this was part of it, when I think of you, if I boiled you down to one word, it would be faithful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what I think of, because you are so faithful to God mm-hmm. and to His Word. You love God's Word. Mm-hmm. You're faithful and committed to use the gifts that He's given you, however He wants you to do that. You're faithful and devoted to your husband and your family. And you're faithful and loyal to your friends.
Thank you. Thanks, Sherry, girl.
And you have been my constant friend, mm-hmm. encourager, cheerleader, prayer warrior, and co-worker for Christ for 30 years.
That's amazing.
And that's over half of my life.
Yeah.
Over half of my life.
We could say that for a couple more years. Really soon we won't have. But yeah, it is amazing.
So I just have loved serving with you, and it's going to be hard, but there's no one I'd rather live this life with than you.
Me too. Thanks, Sherry. Yeah, it's been awesome. So
we're all excited to see how God's going to use you in the next chapter of your life, because He will, no doubt about it. And but I feel like one of the biggest ways that He used you here was speaking into college girls' lives. And Callie Jo is here to tell us all about that.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here, and Katie to share with you and reminisce. I've definitely been reminiscing, and it is powerful. The things that you and Dawn, too, I can't even talk about this without talking about Dawn, too. Mm-hmm. There's Dawn.
Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, impact. And this church, quite honestly, mm-hmm. pouring into our lives,
yeah.
not just the gals, but the guys
right.
as well.
Right.
I'm just honored to be here. I guess I want to start by saying a little something about Dawn so that mm-hmm. we could kick off the impact so people understand where that started. But, you know, Dawn started in 1988 with you, and he sat outside the SOSC scheduling. And he had a little card table, and he was just sitting there all nice in his polo shirt and waiting for college students to stroll by. And I saw a book on his card table, and I just thought, oh, I know this book. And I was a brand new Christian. I did not know anything about, I didn't know about quiet times or anything. And so Dawn invited me to Impact, and I quickly went home and invited my friend Monica to Impact, my roommate. And so we went, and we went for the first time. It was so fun and cool. We loved it. And I just have to show you, I found this stash of stuff in my home. And so I just wanted to show you some of the encouraging cards. And first B, you'll recognize those probably. But look at this, Katie. Here's a postcard from Dawn. It says, "Hey, Joe." Oh, by the way, this was on September 26, 1988. So like a couple, right after Impact started. "Hey, Joe. It was good having you in the group on Sunday. I hope you found it to be a friendly group and one you can feel comfortable about inviting others." Yes. Let's see. "My prayer for the group is that we can help make one's year here at SOSC one of growth and development in the Lord. Have a great week for His glory, Dawn Baldrica."
Wow.
And that was, it was so fun to see it this year, but to get it there was so nice because it was a connection. So that was wonderful, Dawn.
I would say we came with a pocket full of inexperience and a lot of enthusiasm.
Did you say inexperienced?
Yeah, we weren't too experienced when we came.
Oh, well, funny you should say that, because as soon as Katie saw you, as soon as you saw us gals, I'm sure you quickly assessed the situation and thought, I need to get some discipleship going. So, yes, thank you, Leslie. She had this hanging around.
Oh, all right, Leslie.
This is the first book that Katie took us through. And I was looking for it in my house. I knew exactly what it looked like, but I couldn't find it. But this changed our lives. And then these were the memory verses that she made us memorize and take with us everywhere. Thank you, Katie.
I made them.
It's thick in there, too. There's quite a few. But, boy, those are the verses that I still, some of them, that I still know. And what a treasure. So some other things that I'm thinking of with Katie, some other memories of her. She is a visual aid person, right, Katie? You love visual aids. Look what I found. It's kind of scrappy now, but look at that. Oh, sure, yeah, thank you. This was a Daniel study you did. Do you remember in our dorm in Baker?
That's your writing.
And she had these little things. Like, Katie, look at that. Each little section. I'm still trying to figure out the book of Daniel. And she... She was
okay,
just
where's
so
Susan
clear.
Morris in the football field? She'll remember that one, yeah.
So I love that. You were just very clear, and she does a lot of arrows in her visuals. But it's so helpful. Like, your heart, Katie, is so for teaching and patient, because there were some of us that didn't know the Bible at all. And so that was wonderful. You quickly assessed the situation, too, and saw that we needed quiet time, devotional time, like something where we could grow in the Lord. And so I found this. It was just a little paper that you, or maybe Dawn, but you guys were both working together, so we never know sometimes what was, you know, each other. But Saturday morning quiet time, get away to a quiet place. Begin by taking some time in prayer. Talk to God about your current relationship with Him. And then you had us read Romans 8:28 through 39. Or I guess possibly it could have been Dawn, but I have a feeling a Saturday morning meant you. So that was a treasure to just find. Just building that capacity for us to learn and spend time with the Lord. Your heart was always for us to get to know the Lord more, like always. I found this little shield thing, and it says, what are you looking forward to this summer? What do I have to offer people? You were very interested in helping us find our spiritual gifts and using those for the church and for impact. Where do you want to be spiritually? So, you know, she had us doing things that were meaningful. So, and again, talking about you, Katie, kind of have to talk a little bit more about Dawn. I found this as well. This is called the Impact Purpose Statement. It's a 5-page document. I love this.
Wow.
They were thorough, and we were just impressed. That's all. We were impressed. So this is really it's powerful. I'm just going to read what Dawn and Katie, and Dawn, what you wanted from us as impactors. It says, the impact purpose statement, to develop a group of students who have a heart for God and a burden for the campus with a desire to serve, to help others know about God, to grow closer to Him, and to become active church members after SOC. I see that. I see that so much. That's what guided us. So, Dawn, thank you. It's incredible what you guys laid out for us. Just powerful. I just cannot even thank you enough, both of you. Dawn, remember that? Remember that? Some of us remember that book. That was a toughie, too, because when you don't know as much about the Bible and you're trying to figure that all out. But what a blessing. Just things that you guys poured into us so much.
I think that's been one of our biggest encouragements in ministry now, is to see people that were in the college group out loving, serving, like they learned how to be a body and they learned how to love each other and love the Lord here. And then now they've gone out like all these little missionaries or something. It's been really encouraging, and they live all over the States. And that part for us has been a real encouragement for our hearts. So, yeah. Again, and you've stayed connected, which really is amazing. Someone was saying today, it's like we can just pick up wherever we are. So I love that.
you guys gave us that. The Lord cared enough about college kids, and First B cared enough about college kids that he would send Don and Katie to be with us and to teach us and to love on us and show us so many things.
Right.
So I know just a few more things. I just wanted to say thank you for our Mexico trips, our coast trips, all the activities. And I will say, too, you know, Don and Katie were tasked with something they didn't really realize, but you guys were kind of like our spiritual mom and dad. Sometimes you had to sort of discipline us, too. And those were fun times. So, like...
fun for whom?
A lot of work for you, too. I can think of times where if we were late, they charged us a quarter every time we were late.
So. Did we really do that? Thanks, honey.
And if two of us were coming in and we thought we might be late, we sprinted for the door to make sure we weren't the late one. So we also learned good manners with the porch light. They taught us about that. Hey, if you are going to come and you see a porch light on, come on in. If no porch light, head back to the dorm, please. So we tried to respect that once we learned that. And then Don taught us Ephesians 4:29. Do you remember I was telling you guys that a little bit? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So Don and Katie probably decided at home, boy, we really need to teach this. So he taught it to us, and we did good for a while. And then all of a sudden, it kind of became, you know, when somebody would say something mean, hey, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Okay, so that worked for a little while, but it kind of downgraded to Ephesians 4:29. So Don and Katie, you guys had to reteach us, and, you know, you're always teaching us what it meant to really be godly Christians, people that loved Christ. So I just want to say thank you for those things. And just to kind of end with the things that I've come to love about you, Katie, and Don, too. But for Katie, I just appreciate you're always asking us, you know, how are you doing with Jesus? It is, you better know that that's going to be one of the questions, at least at some point in visiting. It is full of love, it's full of care, and it's an amazing question. So I just want to thank you for asking that tough question. It's probably awkward sometimes, but you asked it, and it always helped. I also think that you're so intentional and purposeful in your planning activities. I learned that from you. Let's do something that honors the Lord, and what's your outcome? How do you want it to end? What do you want out of this? So that gave me some helpful tips there. And then this is probably what I've come to appreciate the most. If you come to Medford, you'll contact me and say, hey, you want to join me for a baseball game? Hey, I'm down the road watching Hope play volleyball. You want to come and sit with me while we watch the game? Simple little things that we're all about coming alongside and mentoring. And I want to just say thank you for showing love to us. It was powerful, and it's something that I will never forget. And I know up here, I'm just speaking probably for so many of us that would say the same thing. You guys impacted our lives so much, and I just am touched so much. And seeing these things that I weirdly saved, but at the same time, God knew why I was saving them. And they are like my heritage. They are our heritage. You guys are the best, and I'm just so thankful to both of you.
Thanks, Callie. Thank you so much. And I think she's kind of a representative of her generation, I think. She's the
older
impact rep.
Generation.
But I think that what's coolest for me is that you all have grown into friends. And, you know, there's so many of you that we just call and talk about things as friends. And hopefully you don't see me as the mother figure anymore.
No, we transitioned. I
Very
forgot
good.
About that.
I really appreciate that. But, I mean, it was just neat to have so many great thinkers that were really grappling and trying to find their way, and you were willing to open your heart, but open your mind, and let the Holy Spirit, which is really the one who teaches through us, but it's the Holy Spirit who gets that done, and just be open to that. So, yeah, we really wanted Impact to be a group where everyone was welcome, but they were also going to be growing in Christ. So it was really a two-part thing for us. And I just agree that the church was like the underlying base note of everything.
Definitely.
Just supporting us and giving food and come to my house and live with me over the summer. And the church family really was the, you know, girding us up as we reached out to you. And we couldn't have done it without our church family here. So
yeah.
Thanks
first
for sharing, Kelly.
Our lives.
You're so precious. Thanks, you.
Thank you.
Awesome. I got to pick who's up here, by the way. There's a reason each one's here.
Thank you, Katie.
Well, I came in, you came into my life around 1996.
Mm.
And we had been in Ashland since 85 and had been working. And but in 1990, we became a family.
Mm.
And we were attending other places. And in 1996, there was a ministry here called Mothers of Preschoolers.
Right.
MOPS. And I had a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I was looking for some support. I didn't have any family in this area at all. And I needed some women and some mothers in my life to help me see that I was doing okay. And so someone pointed out that there was a MOPS group here at First Baptist. And it's kind of hazy, but I just remember starting to attend and meeting this young pastor's wife. Pastor's wives are not young.
Yeah, we know. Don't we, Sherry?
Anyway, you were so real, and you were so genuine, and you were so welcoming and made me feel so comfortable right away. And so I was a very enthusiastic member of the MOPS group. But I'm listening to this, and so if I have this right, you were involved in MOPS, you were involved in Impact, and you were a mother of 2 boys.
Correct.
Wow. And you were the pastor's wife. So how'd that go?
It was lively.
Yeah.
I did figure out that I had to pare down the college ministry when I had Owen walking beside me, like about Charlie's age, 2.5, and I had Luke in the stroller, and we're walking to meet some kids uphill in a dorm, and Luke's starving, crying, ready to eat, and I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here? This is ridiculous. Like, I had to realize that my kids were my first disciples,
mm-hmm.
and so I did at that point have to step back a little bit, and that's how MOPS kind of, a bunch of us were like, we need something for our kiddos, so. Yeah.
So I didn't really know what the background of how MOPS got started. So it was started about that time?
Yeah, a little before
about,
that.
About mm-hmm. 1996? Mm-hmm. Well, it made a huge difference in my life. I felt so supported, and it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And it was such a great break mm-hmm. From the regular stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember very clearly one day after MOPS was over, you came up to me and you said, "So, how you doing? How you doing with Jesus?" And, you know, where are you fellowshipping? And I have to admit, I was a little Baptist shy. But you said, you know, why don't you come and try First B? Would you give us a try? Those were your exact words. And you were just so intentional, and you were so genuine in your love for the Lord. I thought, well, if this is a representation of First Baptist, Joyce, you should give it a try. You should give it a try. And so my husband and I, and our kids were growing older, and they needed they needed Christian kids and Christian teaching that was consistent and true. And so we came and we visited, and we really enjoyed Don's, his messages, his genuine concern, and his voicing the truth every single Sunday. And so we came that Sunday and we never left. And we've been involved together after our children graduated out of MOPS. We graduated into teaching Sunday school together.
With Jeff.
There was the three of us. And
three Muscatooties.
Yes. And we taught Sunday school together for several years. Just at least till our kids. our kids together in Sunday school. We had to be very lively with our ideas. We became like a little Sunday school youth group. We did outings. We went swimming. We did all kinds of things together to keep these kids interested. And it really solidified, for me, I feel like that really solidified our friendship. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like we started in ministry and we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that with us, how when you have a friend and you're both facing out and you're serving the Lord, that bond of friendship just gets so tight. Because
I was going to have you talk about that later, but that's
Sorry. But that's what happened with Joyce and I. We definitely
We started off just as workers and became close, very close. You're my sister, my sister in the Lord. Because not having family around, family is important to me, and so I just kind of glommed onto you, and was such a blessing for to learn and grow to know you and to share together and to pray together, cry together, do a lot of laughing, a lot of celebrating. She's the this is the party girl right here. But in that friendship, we've seen our children baptized. We've seen our children married. You helped marry our children. And we've seen your family grow with grandchildren. And we've enjoyed each picture and each exciting development in their lives. And it's just been a pleasure to know you and love you and watch all the changes. And to be a part of all those changes. So speaking of changes, our kids grew up. They went away. And we got involved in a women's ministry together. Mm-hmm. And we call it Woven now. And, of course, Katie, you are a huge part of it. In every way, you're really the leader of the leaders. And then that just trickles down to all of the women who attend. And one of the things that you talk about is you're always challenging us to face out together, working toward a common goal. And you kind of addressed that a little bit, but would you talk about that a little bit more?
It's really from C.S. Lewis, and he talks about friendships where people are living together and serving together. There's just that bond there that you don't have other ways, and how when you're in a relationship like that, it really lets the Lord speak into you from the other person and the people that you're with. That so that's kind of how that got started. I don't know if we talked about that too much in Impact, but the transition for me was when you're in ministry for a long time, it gets hard after a while, and you have to have people around you that you enjoy serving with, or you just grind it out and it's no fun. And so not that it has to be fun all the time, but you have to have people that you're with. And that's kind of what happened with us and the Schlecks. I mean, the Valderica boys and the Schleck children. And then Hopi, she's had quite her times with everyone too. So in the early years, she was kind of watching, and now she's right in the mix with everyone. But Claire was so happy to have a girl, Hope, join the mix. But So it's been a real privilege and a blessing to have you guys as our good friends, and I know I've leaned on all three of you a lot, and really appreciate that. So
It's been a mutual.
Yeah.
It's been very, very, I mean, there was never anything forced. There was just.
I know. If I get upset, the boys would say, well, what does Joyce think? Like, she's a sounding board, right? What's Joyce think? What's Joyce say about this?
So. Well, we usually agreed, guys.
Yeah.
So, our Bible study, I'd have to say the theme of love has been so clear here. Mm-hmm. And you have just led us in love, showing us how to love each other and the women in our groups. And because we all love you so, and the women in the Bible study, we can't all be on the stage to tell you. So I asked a few of them to give me some of their thoughts about you.
Do you want to save that choice for later?
Yes,
it'd be hard.
Anyway, these are just a few of the thoughts that these women want you to know. Katie is always caring and available and always greets you with that big, wonderful smile. And that is just so true. She prays for us when we need her, and she delivers a meal as well. Katie has a knack for catching up with me, squeezing me into her busy schedule because I'm important to her. She has a heart for me and others, my challenges, my ministry, the women I'm discipling, and most importantly, how I'm doing with Jesus. She has an infectious joy, especially when celebrating birthdays, babies, weddings, and graduations. And we all love that about you, Katie. You're just, you know, life is short. You got to celebrate. She desires to love women and see their lives transformed. She keeps a prayer journal so we can look back and see how God has answered our prayers. She doesn't want women to be disconnected or isolated, so she's always connecting us and celebrating our connections with one another. She gets excited when women share what God has shown to them or how he has worked in their lives in a new way. Woohoo! Yeah. What I remember about Katie from my early years as a baby Christian is her signature question. How are you doing with Jesus? I used to not like that question as it was a bit uncomfortable to answer, but I have learned to appreciate it over the years. Katie has always been a beacon of positivity and encouragement. She's always pushed me that extra spiritual mile, even to the point of leading a ministry, which I never thought would be in my wheelhouse. A tender thing about Katie is that she's always bringing me books or articles or journals of her own reflective spiritual moments to share how God is working in her life, which is reflective of her faithfulness in studying God's word and filling her spiritual storeroom in order to share with others. Katie has truly been a co-laborer with Christ, discipling me through Bible study, words of wisdom for my marriage and parenting, teaching my kids in Sunday school. Yeah, you're still doing that, aren't you? Off and on.
Not after today.
Not after today, right. I try not to go there. And working alongside me in ministry to women. Katie has been an example to me in women's leadership with her passion for serving the women in our church and community. She has a heart to serve women and be God's instrument to help women grow in living out their faith. I see her passion to help women experience God's love in their lives. Katie's encouragement has always helped me to keep leading and serving. I appreciate her willingness to accept me just the way I am. She has definitely had an impact on women's Bible study with her wisdom, leadership, and friendship. I admire her desire to disciple younger women. And she not only has that desire, but she takes action to contact and spend time with them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And a few days ago, Katie, I asked you what you hope your life has reflected from while you've been here at Ashland at First Baptist. And this is what she said. Is it okay if I share this?
Okay.
I hope I show that God is in me, that God's kingdom is enhanced because of me, that God's name is glorified because of my life. I pray that people have grown in their faith because I am here. I hope that my life reflects that I tried to help others see their personal spiritual gift for growing the body of Christ. Okay, I'll take a minute here. And Katie, with all that has been said, and when I look at you, I see a woman who took the call that Jesus gave to Peter in a very personal way. Feed my sheep. And you have done that wholeheartedly by going inward with God in your study of the Bible and in your prayer time, so that you can be a faithful servant for him when you face outward. And you've done that with love and friendship. And I've just seen it grow and grow and grow. And you've become a more beautiful woman every day in the Lord that I've known you. You have been a faithful pastor's wife, but you have been a faithful friend and God's faithful servant. And I know your life reflects all that you hope it does. And we are going to so miss you. I am going to so. I'm not going to miss you because I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go.
Thanks,
Grace. I just have to say one thing back on that celebration thing. Because those of you who know me know I love that. I got that celebrating gene. But I really got that from my sister Barbara. Because growing up, our parents, you know, it was your birthday, and it was okay. But when I was in my early 20s, I lived with her a lot of times when I came home from college. Because, you know, my mom, she went and became a missionary after my father passed away. And she is so dear, but Barbara taught us how to celebrate. She taught you how to throw a good party and how to make sure everyone had a cool favor. And a really good cake. She knew about a good cake. She still does. So I just have to say that. Because, I kind of got that gene from her. And it really honors the Lord because you're honoring people. You're honoring who God is in the person. And that's what that's all about, right? We celebrate who God made you to be on those days. So that's cool. Thanks. I just want to say one last thing, too. I feel like all of my ministry was made possible because of Don being so supportive of me. Like, he was not in any way, you need to stay home and just stay with the kid. I mean, he was willing to come alongside, cover for me, be with our kids, give me ideas. I mean, we talked over so much of whatever happened anywhere was us as a team. And I really appreciate that about Don, that he didn't have a square hole for me to fit in. Probably wouldn't have worked very well. He figured that out early on, but I just appreciate his acceptance of my gifts, even though they're different from his. So that was awesome. So it's been a great time being a pastor's wife here. So thanks, ladies. Appreciate it. Love you, Kevin.
join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for your goodness, for your faithfulness. And as we continue to worship you and celebrate what you've done, may you be blessed. As we give our tithes and offering, may you use those for your glory. And we just pray that as we continue to celebrate, your heart would be filled with joy from our hearts that have been filled with joy for what you've done. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Alone in my sorrows, I'm dead in my sins. Lost without hope, when no place began. Your love made a way, let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, the ashes were redeemed, only beauty remained. And my open heart was given a name. Quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you.
Chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was the ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt, he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace,
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you for a minute about a faithful man, Pastor Don. Mary and I, and Don and Katie, go back to 1988 also. We were here when they walked through the back doors back there for the first time. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready for ministry and the gospel on campus here. It was wonderful to meet them and wonderful to see their enthusiasm for what they were going to be able to do. Not too many days later, they came to their first official church function here, and it happened to be our wedding. Mary and I were married right here, and Katie and Don were here to be with us. Don started Impact. So many of you have been impacted by Impact. I'm one of the few people that can still call you guys kids. And my son and my daughter-to-be were both involved deeply in that. And we watched that go on as the church filled up with college kids, and you guys all sat in a group, and what an inspiration, how much fun that was to see that happen. Don and Katie also started a small group in their home, and we were privileged to be part of that, and we came weekly as they invited us to their little apartment over near the college, and that went on for years and years and years and years. Sometimes off, sometimes on, but we always had that time of focus where we understood what God wanted to happen in our lives. That was a wonderful time for us. Then I remember so well when Don and Duane came to me. I was board chair at that time. And said, this was right after Pastor John Tornfeld had left, and they came to me and they said, Merrill, we have been thinking and praying about this, and we think that we could be co-pastors here of this church. We know it hasn't been done very often, and everybody tells us this is impossible, but we think we could do it. And I'd been praying about it, and the deacons had been praying about it, and so we prayed, and I took it to the deacons, and the deacons prayed, and they took it to the congregation, and we voted them in as our new co-pastors. And that was actually from that time until the end of last month, we served together, shoulder to shoulder, in leadership here. A really wonderful privilege for me, something that I certainly will never forget. You know, there are many things that I admire about Don, and you guys have been sitting a long time, so I'm going to make it fairly brief, but I want to mention three or four of them. First of all, Don always used God's word for his authority, preaching and teaching. Have you ever sat down in a church or any place where someone is preaching or teaching and they start to talk and they go on for a while and pretty soon you're sitting there and you're thinking, where'd this guy come up with this? You didn't have to ever wonder that about Don because he told you where it came from. It came from God's word.
That was central to what he had to say. And I so appreciated that about him. Don believes the Word is the source of all truth, both in his messages and his teachings and his visitors from the past. All of them were based on the Word of God, and I have greatly appreciated that. Secondly, I always admire Don because he's devoted to Katie and his kids, and now his grandkids. Lots of pastors' kids and ministers' kids will tell you that they don't know too much about their dad, or even their mom sometimes, which is a real shame. Kids can just be strangers when the parents are so involved in ministry. But Don and Katie purposed to spend time with their kids, to go to their events, to be as involved in their lives as possible. Don always told us in Deacons and in other places how much he loved and how much he wanted to be with his wife and his family. Third, Don always wanted the best for this church. He and I could agree or disagree sometimes, and Don and the board could agree or disagree, but I always knew that Don wanted God's best for this church. And that was a really important anchor for me, and I really appreciated that. So, Don, thank you. Finally, if you were to leave this celebration today and say aloud, "Wow, Don and Katie are amazing. They've spent 30 plus years here trying to make this little church flourish. That was a great celebration, and nothing could pay them back for 30 years of really hard work." If Don and Katie were to hear you, they would say, and I'm putting words in your mouth, "No, no, no. This celebration was really not about us. The one we really are celebrating is God. God gave us life. He prepared us. He called us here. He blessed our ministry." And so, Don and Katie, I apologize for putting words into your mouth. But may we all remember today as we celebrate, and as Pastor Duane said right at the beginning, we are here to celebrate and bid farewell to Don and Katie, but at the same time, the heart of our time together, we celebrate our great God and Father, and His Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is the one who has given us life. He gives us joy and meaning to everyone who follows him. He is the real reason to celebrate today. Don and Katie, we thank God for both of you and what God has accomplished through your years here at FBC. We love you and we will miss you. I love you and I will miss you. May God's richest blessing be on you as he leads you in all your days ahead.
All right. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Don and Katie's eldest son, Owen. And I grew up in and around the church, sitting in those pews right down there, worshiping on Sunday mornings and listening to Dad preach up here. And it's a privilege to be here to celebrate Mom and Dad and your guys' tenure here as pastor and pastor's wife. Growing up, I don't think my siblings and I realized the burden that pastors carry. I remember thinking that Dad had a pretty easy job, relatively stress-free. It seemed to come with some nice perks. We had a built-in family at church, lots of events with free pizza, and every once in a while we got to sneak back into the baptismal or up into the organ speakers, which was a lot of fun for us. But as we got older, it became apparent that shepherding the congregation was a 24/7 job. I can remember Dad coming home for dinner and spending the evening with us before packing up and heading back to church to work on his sermon. I can also remember him driving to the hospital to visit sick and sometimes dying church members. I remember the Sunday afternoons where he would come home after preaching, after taking time to talk around, to walk around and speak with individuals after the service, after cleaning up the chairs in the fellowship hall, and he'd sit down in his recliner at home with golf on TV, completely exhausted, and fall asleep. As parents know, your children watch you all the time. They pick up on subtleties that would go unnoticed by other adults, and they pay particularly close attention to your behavior in difficult and trying situations. I can tell you that Dad faced quite a few difficult and trying situations while he pastored this church, and they came in all shapes and sizes. But one thing that was consistent through each of those trials was his response. He showed us, his children, from a very young age, that the appropriate response to challenges in life is to turn to the Lord in prayer and to wholeheartedly seek his guidance. Dad, I want to say thank you. Thank you for modeling what it means to be a man of God to your children. Thank you for showing us what hard work looks like, for teaching us to follow through on our commitments. Thank you for sacrificing your time and money so we could enjoy playing sports and going on vacations. Thank you for showing us what it means to be a faithful and loving husband and that honors and serves his wife. Thank you for placing your relationship with God above any other relationship in your life and living with him as your guiding light. You have served and continue to serve as a wonderful example of what a father and husband looks like, and I'm so proud to call you my dad. You're still the person I look up to the most and aspire to be more like. Thanks, Dad. I know that these past few years have been tough, but I want you to know that you've had a profound and lasting impact on so many people throughout your time here in Ashland. I think of all the lives you touched on Christmas Eve and Easter's over the years as you sought to bring the Word of God to life through your characters. I hope you're able to look back at the past 30 years you've been here with an immense sense of pride and accomplishment and know that God has used you to be a shining light in the community. Mom, I also want to say thank you to you. You've stood faithfully by Dad's side during his time as a pastor here. You fully embraced your role as a leader in this church and have shown your children what it means to love and care for those around you. You've shown us what it means to be a woman of God, committed to raising your family in a way that's honoring to him. Dad was only able to have the impact he had because you were by his side, fully supporting him, and it's such a privilege to be your son. Those of you who know Mom well know that she fondly refers to those close to her as her people. You also know that there are quite a few of you who she considers her people. For many of you, she's been the one you call when you're having difficulties with a relationship or when you're going through a rough patch spiritually. She's been there to offer comforting words and guidance, always seeking to try and help where she can. She's borne the burdens of many members of this church over the years, and I can tell you that she's one of the strongest people I know. My mom's most enduring trait, and Sherry mentioned it, is her fierce loyalty. She's been fiercely loyal to her God, fiercely loyal to her husband and to her family, and fiercely loyal to this church. The role of a pastor's wife is often overlooked, but comes with its own unique set of challenges and responsibilities. Mom, it's been such a pleasure to watch you serve God through serving others. You have been and continue to be such a wonderful friend to so many people in this community and have positively impacted the kingdom of God in a meaningful and eternal way. Thank you for modeling what being a follower of Christ should look like. Aside from Mom and Dad, I want to take the opportunity to thank Pastor Dwayne and Sherry. As things have changed over the years, you two have been a constant in our family's lives. You both have faced the many of the same challenges and trials as Mom and Dad and have remained unwavering in your commitment to God and to the church. Luke and I spent countless afternoons at your house, roughhousing with Andrew and Ryan, or playing catch or basketball or shooting BB guns in your front yard. And growing up with your children was a joy and a privilege. Many of my most cherished memories were made when our families were together. Thank you for loving our family so well and for being such loyal and caring friends. And to the rest of the church body, I also want to say thank you. Many of you have had a meaningful impact on our family over the years, and I've always felt loved and accepted by this church. In fact, even now, having moved away for college for over 10 years, I still find myself missing the sense of community that this church possessed for me growing up. I want you to know that our family cares deeply for this congregation and that it holds a very special place in our hearts. And I want you to know that you will be in our prayers as you enter into a new chapter over the upcoming year. I encourage you to remain laser focused on seeking God's will for this church body and pray that he will continue to use FBC as a powerful tool for his kingdom here in Ashland and in the Rogue Valley. Finally, when difficult times arise and when the transition seems difficult, I would encourage you not to overcomplicate things and to focus on loving God and loving others. Mom and Dad, today is a day to celebrate both of you, and I'm so excited to see what God has in store for the next chapter of your lives. Take pride in what you accomplished here at FBC, knowing that God has a plan for you and for this church. I love you both so much. I'm proud to be your son. Congratulations on a job well done.
Power, living on the inside. all I've once held dear, filled my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, fallen and worthless now.
Great to have you back here again. Well, your pastor's in the pulpit, one of them anyway, and we're stretched for time because it's about right time for lunch, so I'm going to try and keep this moving pretty quick, but I do have some things I want to say, and I'll try to be short. Good luck. Don, over 30 years ago, you and Katie joined our staff at First Baptist when it was the Jerry, Don, and Dwayne show. And as you came, I noted to myself, man, this guy can preach. You came up here and you candidated and you could preach. And I thought, man, it's going to be great having this guy on our team. I believe you received 100% of the votes when people voted on you. Year before, I only received 94%. What's with that? But, you know, it was really apparent that God had called you here, you and Katie here to Ashland. And immediately you and Katie as a team began to pour out your lives, and that was shared today in the Impact students. And over the years, you've had an incredible impact in the lives of students, more than you'll ever know. On the other side of heaven, you'll know. On this side of heaven, we don't. But you've impacted them. few years later, when you and I were asked and we felt the Lord leading us to serve as co-pastors, it was exciting, scary. What are we getting into? It's uncharted territory for us young pastors. And I really well remember those days laying in bed going, oh my goodness, what did we just sign up for? But I love our church family. You know, they were so gracious. They allowed us to make mistakes, and they provided encouragement, support, and they allowed us to grow in the ministry. And they affectionately called us the young pastors. Come to think of it, it's been quite a while since I've heard that phrase applied to you and me, Don. Through these years of ministry together, since I've known you, Owen, you started it off. You have been a faithful pastor and a teacher. Ephesians 4:11 says, Jesus gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Thanks, Sherry. So that the body may be built up. You have been called, you've been equipped on to, by the Lord, to be a pastor teacher. And even last week you said in your sermon, I always have enjoyed preaching, sharing God's truth. And you have done that. I see three realms in which you have been a faithful pastor teacher. And people always spoke to it, so I'm going to try and rush through those a little bit. But you've been a faithful shepherd to the flock here at First Baptist Church. You've been a faithful shepherd to your wife, and you've been a faithful shepherd to your children. And Paul in Acts, when he called the Ephesians elders, he says, hey, come on over here to Miletus. And he said, gather together and be going to Jerusalem. He knew we wouldn't see him again. And he shared with them, he says, you know, I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. But I've taught you publicly and from house to house. And that's Acts 20:20. You're an Acts 20:20 guy. And I say this about you, Don. For three decades, you have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to your church flock. Whatever book in the Bible you would preach from or teach in your Sunday school class or teach in your small groups in your home or teach at Impact, you never hesitated to proclaim to your flock the whole will of God. And I think of Kristen Graham, who was even here a couple weeks ago, and she shared with me, Dwayne, I come to First Baptist Church because I know when Pastor Don, when he preaches, he's preaching the Word of God. It's not going to be fluff. It's going to be the Word of God. And that's why I'm here. And that could be said of so many people for you. And Paul's charge to young Timothy, the young pastor, was this, Timothy, preach the word in season and out. Be prepared and in season and out. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine. Don, you have been a faithful shepherd to this flock. You have faithfully and accurately proclaimed God's word. I have never, capital letters in black, I have never heard you preach something contrary to God's word here. And I know there's interpretations on some things, but never contrary to God's word. And I've sat under a lot of your sermons. Brandon, where are you? Yeah, right here, my brother. Brandon came to know the Lord 2 years ago, was baptized here 2 years ago, and we have a special friendship. And we're special, Brandon. It's a neat relationship with you. And Brandon's been growing in his faith. And a lot of times after church, we'll get together, I give him a ride home, and Brandon will go, God did it again. He spoke to me exactly what I needed to hear. Pastor Don's sermon did it again. How does he know? How does he know? Because you have been a faithful shepherd to preach God's word. And people can go, how did he know? Has he been in my living room? No, the Holy Spirit has been in their living room. But the Holy Spirit was in your room as you prepared the message. You prepared it faithfully.
You have shepherded your flock well. You've been a faithful shepherd to your wife, and many others have already made reference to that. I thought of 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life." Dawn, over the years, I've witnessed how you faithfully love your wife. Katie is loved by you, and you can tell looking in her eyes and how she treats you and how she responds to you. There's a woman who's been loved by her man. You've cherished her. You've treated her with great dignity and respect. You're careful to not publicly injure or embarrass her. Well, almost, with regard to the embarrassment part, because there are times when Kate goes, "Dawn, stop it," right? But for the most part, never embarrassed her. And you would just laugh and you'd poke at her some more. But, you know, I've watched you be the spiritual leader of your wife by being a servant to her, and that's what spiritual leader is. Spiritual leaders, headship means we jump to the bottom of the pile and we serve. And you've served your wife. You've placed her needs over yours. Owen mentioned that. You've planned trips that she would enjoy. You've worked hard to keep the romance flame stoked. You go home so you can eat lunch with her. I wish I could do that. Finally, you do not let the ministry become an unintended mistress. You guys work together as a team. I've watched both you and Katie serve the Lord together and grow together in your faith, in your ministry. And last Sunday you said it, and it's true. Family is high priority for me, and I'm glad it is. And so is Katie. And I can tell it's a high priority for you. It shows. With Katie, with your kids, you've been a faithful shepherd to your wife. And then lastly, a faithful shepherd to your children. I love you guys. Not as much as your dad loves you and your mom. Says in Ephesians 6:4, it's the Living Bible translation, says, "And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord approves of, with suggestions and godly advice." That's great advice. Now, I know there was a time that I heard you guys were coming home from a trip and you wanted to stop at In-N-Out Burger in Reading. And you evidently missed the exit. And you're saying, "Dad, it was back there." And, of course, Dad, being the sensitive dad that he is, just keeps on driving. And there was steam coming out of kids' ears. And it was a pretty quiet, cold ride the rest of the way home. But other than that one incident, that's the only one I heard. But one of the highest callings in life of the dad is to be a spiritual shepherd of our children. It's one of the most difficult callings. And we easily can exasperate our children. We can be impatient. We can be, well, just stinkers, selfish to our children. We can easily neglect to bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. We can do a lot of other things for our kids, but we can neglect that. One of the greatest challenges to be a PK, and Owen, you referenced that too, although you know where all the hiding places are, right up there. But one of the greatest challenges is to a kid that's a PK is that you're expected, you're in a fishbowl. And everybody looks at you, and you have this expectation, and you feel it. Nobody says it, but it's like, you better be here every week, and you better be good, and you better make your mom and dad proud, and you better go to that event, and that event, and that event. And PKs can feel like they get the leftovers from dad also, because not only is your dad a pastor, there's so many people that he shepherds, but he also has a responsibility to shepherd you too. And sometimes you can feel like you get the leftovers. I don't think that was true too much with your dad. He was on the ball fields with you. He took the time to spend time with you, go to your games, and do all those things, be it flag football or volleyball or family time on vacations. But he did it with purpose. There was purpose and intentionality in all that he did to build into you godly character. And to build into you integrity and a love for God. And Dawn and Katie, your mom and dad, modeled for you what it is to love God. You knew that mom and dad love each other. And so, look at you. You make your parents proud. Good choices in the women you chose to marry, and hope you will too, if that's what God wants for you. But you guys love Jesus. You have character. You have integrity. And that all came by the grace of God from mom and dad. So Dawn, you have been faithful shepherd to your flock. You have been a faithful shepherd to your wife. And you have been a faithful shepherd to your kids. And I honor you. What I'd like to do is have you come up and just stand down here. And I'd like those that presented, would you kind of come up here? And we're going to keep moving because the food's going to get cold here pretty soon. But I want to pray for you. Meryl, would you come on up? And Sherry and Callie Joe. Joyce. And you guys just gather around and we're going to pray for them. And I think I'll just pray and because we're getting hungry. Well, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this couple. 30 years, Lord, long time. And Lord, you have been faithful. The focus is on you. And you have been faithful to Dawn and Katie in using their gifts of teaching and shepherding and loving our people. And I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for their willingness to grind it out through the years and to keep on keeping on. And I thank you, Lord, for the fruit that we have seen because that's from you. We give you praise for their lives. We thank you, Lord, for Dawn and Katie. We love them dearly and we will continue to love them dearly. Lord, would you lead and guide them to this next assignment that you have for them? They're in the next room and that door hasn't opened yet, but we know, God, that we can trust you with their future and where you're going to have them. So give them wisdom and insight in the days to come of where you'll have them to be and where you'll have them to serve. And they will be a blessing to those that they're around. We're confident of that. Lord, thank you for this church family who have loved them, supported them, been there to encourage the children as they've grown up in this church. Thank you for the generosity of our church. Thank you for their love for Dawn and Katie and the kids. And now, Lord, we just thank you for this couple. We give you praise. They belong to you. Let them know, Lord, how special they are to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's that? You only got 3 minutes.
I just have one page. It's amazing. It's the first time I've been here that I'm the shortest speaker here. The shortest talk. I just want to say a couple of things. I wrote them this morning because it was too hard for me to think of what to say. So I waited till last minute to write some things down. So I will say what a joy it is to look out among this congregation and to see all your faces. Each face has a memory with it. And times we've had together over these 30 years, as well as my family that's here that I've known even for a lot longer than that. Katie and I are among those who love us, and we sense that love here this morning, and we are so thankful for it. And from the bottom of our hearts, we really thank God for all of you and the role you've had in our lives, because it's not one way. If you think it's just one way, us pouring into you, it's not. We receive so much back. And we have grown and developed. And I think of what I was like when I first came here and what I'm at now, who I am now. And it's because of you and the influence you've had in my life as well. First and foremost, I think this is a testimony of the grace and faithfulness of our God. Because I've always said it's always about relationships. It's about a relationship with God, and that's a relationship about with one another. And that will always be true. And if only these walls could talk, right? What they would say. And God gets the glory because we're all humans. And as humans, I know We have our faults. You have seen us in our best times, and you've seen us in maybe not so good of times. You know our strengths, and you know our weaknesses, and yet in the love and grace of God, He has worked here, and He has been faithful, and He is true, and He has used us in spite of our shortcomings, and we've all grown closer in our relationship with Him as a result, to which I'm so thankful, we're so thankful for. We have celebrated great highs here, of seeing God work in lives, of seeing lives changed, of answers to prayer, of doing weddings, of baby dedications, of simply enjoying life together. And we've also been through some very challenging times of sickness and of death, of difficult situations, of heartaches, of setbacks. But through it all, our God has been with us, and He has been faithful. And He will continue to be with us as we go our separate ways. And that's the great comfort we have, is God will be with all of us. And I'm so thankful for that. He is the same God when we came here 30 years ago, and He is the same God as we leave with children and grandchildren, and I leave with less hair, and it's grayer than it was. And He's been good through it all. It hasn't always been easy, but it's always been good. And I'm so thankful for that. We love the fact that we have been here 30 years. We love the fact that we have grown older together. We love the fact that our children have grown up here in this church, that you are our church family, and you always will be our church family. And we thank God for the privilege and opportunity to live and to share life together with God and to grow in our relationship with Him. And as Katie and I leave here, it is only physically, because a piece of our hearts will always be here, because you are our church family. And our prayers is that God will continue to work in this church as He's worked over all these years, that FBC will continue to shine as a bright light brightly for the kingdom of God and beyond, and because it's about Him and it's all for His glory and honor. So as we separate our ways and we go our separate ways, the greatest truth of all is that we leave each other in God's hands. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. We move ahead in faith and in His power and strength, He will always be with us. We love you all, and we always will. And so in the words of, it's funny, Dwayne using a lot of Ephesians verses. I'm closing with an Ephesian verse here. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
We love you.
Will you all stand? Don, Katie, on behalf of all of us who have served with you, have been served by you, those of us who have ministered with you, and you have ministered to us, which is basically everybody here, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. We love you. And we're going to sing and celebrate because of God's great love and what Jesus has done for us. And we're all going to be in heaven one day singing together. This is such a joyful time. Let's sing one more time.
Grace in the mansion, bright and blue.
comes in, you're going to have to be like sardines. What we want to do is we want to gather everybody, just come forward, and we're going to be all up here for a group picture that Don Paul's going to be taking. So what I'd like you to do, I'd like the family, if you guys would, just come right up here so you can be up in front, the Baldrica family, and just gather up here. Then the rest of you, do not be bashful, okay? Just start making your way up here. Watch out for the mics and whatnot. But we're going to take a group picture. Yeah, let's...
Yeah, sure.
Hold on, just... Baldrica family to right now just start. We're going to need to part the waters. Let the Baldrica family go first. What's that? We can get it later. We're going to be back in here for a short program and a video. You're not going to want to miss it. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go eat. Okay, Father, thank you so much for this time to celebrate you and your faithfulness to us through Don and Katie. Lord, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like the Baldricas to go first, the whole family to go first and get in line first. Okay? And then we'd like those of you that are gluten-free, we'd like you to go next because we got to get those trays going and do that. And then we'll have prime timers go after that. Then the rest of y'all can go. But we want the Baldricas to go first. We'll have a short program afterward in here. Okay? A couple presentations, video. At your tables, there are tables downstairs, there's tables in the library. There is a quiz, a trivia quiz that you are welcome to fill out. No cheating.
I'm going to go do my little walk.
Okay.
I'm glad I made it. I'm glad you talked me into it.